Hello and welcome to this podcast focusing on relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. In this episode, which includes excerpts from a recent educational symposium, Drs. Mohamed Moti and Serbi Sidana discuss recent clinical trial data as well as current and emerging therapies. This activity is provided by PER and supported by an educational grant from AbbVie Incorporated. First, we will hear from Dr. Mohamed Moti, who will discuss key clinical trials and therapies for patients with early relapsed multiple myeloma.
I don't need to spend a lot of time explaining the natural history of multiple myeloma, where we usually would expect a relatively long duration of remission after the first line therapy. It wasn't exactly the case in the in this scenario I have presented a few minutes earlier. Then the patient, unfortunately, will suffer from different relapse episode, and hopefully we will be able to deliver more and more effective therapies for these relapses in order to allow patient to have the maximum duration of response. And at time of relapse, we need to be aware that the story is likely more complex than the decision-making process in the frontline setting. Because obviously, patients are getting older. If a patient relapsed 5 or 6 years, starting from age 60, well, at age maybe 65, 67, performance status may worsen. You may have more comorbidities. The disease aggressiveness, but also organ dysfunction is going to play a role. The risk assessment, because in general, at time of relapse, the disease is more resistant. A great importance should be put on the treatment history, but also the accumulating toxicities, which are going to impact our future choice of treatments. And last but not least, we need to take into account, I believe, and this is now becoming more and more established, the lifestyle, the patient preferences, the logistics of all of this. And you can see it's a very complex equation with multi-parameters, and it may not be very easy to handle all this. One thing for sure is that when it comes to symptoms, we need to act quickly and to heal these patients. And more, I think the colleagues are quite convinced that we are trying to intervene earlier and most of the time at time of biochemical relapse. One rare but interesting scenario when it comes to managing first relapse is about those patients who are not resistant to lenalidomide. They are very hard to find because obviously we're giving now continuous therapy to lenalidomide to almost everybody, whether transplant eligible or transplant ineligible. And here we do have some great options based on carfilzomib, KRD, elotuzumab, ERD, ixazomib plus Lendex, but one of the most effective one showing long-term efficacy is the POLYX data with daratumumab, Lendex. The most frequent scenario is actually about the use of an anti-CD38 plus carfilzomib. And we have two regimens which are approved and widely used, combining either daratumumab plus carfilzomib dexamethasone, and this has been validated in the SCANDER study that I'm showing here, comparing DARA-KD to the historical KD. And now with long-term follow-up, we can see a very impressive and very strong advantage in favor of using DARA-KD. And please remember, in the patient I presented earlier to introduce the section, the patient was anti-CD38 naive. So 14% of the colleagues replied with DARA-KD, which I think is a good option. Similar to DARA-KD, we have isatuximab KD, which has been established and approved based on the so-called IKEMA trial, again published initially 4 or 5 years ago, updated last year by Dr. Kui Yong and colleagues. And again, we do have an impressive PFS, progression-free survival advantage, in favor of isatuximab carfilzomib dexamethasone compared to carfilzomib dexamethasone. In some patients, we may wish to skip or avoid carfilzomib for many reasons, either convenience, it's an IV drug, they need to have a perfusion, or because of some cardiovascular comorbidities, and usually we try to avoid carfilzomib in those patients with severe cardiac comorbidities. So combining an anti-CD38 with an IMiD like pomalidomide is also a great option. We have the APOLLO trial, which has led to the approval and wide use of daratumumab plus pomalidomide and dexamethasone, showing a clear advantage for dara-pom-dex versus the doublet pom-dex PD, sort of a historical treatment for relapse. Obviously, and again, I would be very cautious comparing across trials, but in general, combining an anti-CD38 plus carfilzomib is going likely to lead to better results in terms of PFS than an anti-CD38 plus pomalidomide. So you can see, traditionally, that was the historical and what we've been using for the last 5 to 6, 7 years. However, we need to be aware that in those patients who are, for instance, refractory to an anti-CD38, and I'm having in mind, for instance, an elderly myeloma patient receiving daratumumab index continuously according to the MAIA trial. So this patient is going to be anti-CD38 refractory, dara refractory. So you'd like to have options which are anti-CD38 free. And this is where we have already the results of the OPTIMISM trial, which established the use of PVD, pomalidomide, bortezomib, and dexamethasone, and that was tested. And again, you can see a very statistically significant advantage for giving PVD. More recently, we've seen the advent of new families and new mechanism of action. And here I'm thinking about the XPO1 inhibitors, namely selinexor, which is an oral drug already approved and I think used across the globe in many places. It requires some fine-tuning when it comes to administration modalities, dosage, prevention features because of nausea, vomiting, loss of weight. But the BOSTON trial, a phase 2 randomized trial, could establish the value of selinexor, bortezomib, dexamethasone, SVD, compared to VD. Also, there are now more and more emerging options. And if you remember a few minutes ago, you were one-third to propose actually cilta-cel as treatment for a first relapse, for an early relapse in a patient who is 63 years old. And you're absolutely right. This is why I said there was no right or wrong answer, because we have now the results of the CARTITUDE-4 trial. And this is, again, a phase 3 randomized trial, which compared cilta-cel, already approved for late relapses, and CAR T-cell directed against BCMA. And this has been randomized, cilta-cel, versus PVD, the famous PVD I mentioned in the OPTIMISM trial, pomalidomide, bortezomib, dexamethasone, or daratumumab pom-dex, DPD. So really classical standard of care regimens in those patients who are lenalidomide refractory after 1 to 3 prior lines. So exactly the scenario of the patient I have introduced in the beginning of this session. And this CARTITUDE-4 trial could establish actually the superiority of using cilta-cel, a CAR T-cell, for early relapse with a benefit in terms of achieving MRD negativity. And I'm sure we're going to discuss the importance of deepening the response and achieving sustained MRD negativity. And in this trial, MRD negativity was achieved rather very quickly in the first couple of months after treatment. And at the end of the day, we can see some very elegant, very beautiful curves. You can see here the progression-free survival, a huge gap between cilta-cel and the standard of care. But also, we have now, with relatively long follow-up, almost 3 years, as an overall survival advantage, 76% at 30 months versus 64%. This is quite impressive. And actually, this cilta-cel construct is really very powerful because during the upcoming ASCO meeting, we will see the release of the results of the last long-term follow-up of the CARTITUDE-1 trial showing maybe, and this is the shape of the curve we can see here, that maybe one third of the patients are going to enjoy to be disease-free over the long-term after 5 years. And this will translate into a longer time to next therapy. And of course, this is great news for the patient because they will enjoy some treatment-free interval. And we do have some good patient-reported outcomes. So after hearing about the traditional, I would say, relapse options about cilta-cel, you may think, well, we've got a lot. Well, not yet. The story, the case is not closed because new combinations are already in the air. And this is about the advent of antibody drug conjugates, namely belantamab, which is an antibody drug conjugate targeting BCMA, a totally different mechanism of action compared to the cellular therapies, immune therapies like CAR T cells or to the bispecific antibodies. And we're very fortunate having already the DREAM-7 and DREAM-8 trial. These are two trials which established, for instance, the superiority of belantamab, bortezomib, dexamethasone. This is a phase 3 trial, DREAM-7 trial, over the classical daratumumab, bortezomib, dexamethasone. And you can appreciate, again, very elegant PFS curves, but also overall survival curves. So truly strong and valid options in those patients who are in early relapse and who are, for instance, land refractory like and anti-CD38 naive like in the patient I have presented. The DREAM-8 trial is a trial which tested actually belantamab, pomalidomide, dexamethasone. So you can see the different options are always tested with a proteasome inhibitor or with an IMID. So here we have Bela Pomdex, which was compared to PVD, pomalidomide, bortezomib, dexamethasone. Again, the regimen from the Optimism trial, which was quite a very strong regimen, actually. So having PVD as a control arm is very decent, very relevant. And despite the excellent control arm, we do have a superiority of belantamab, Pomdex, in this DREAM-8 trial. And you can appreciate here, the hazard ratio suggests a 48% improvement for Bela Pomdex. So it's incredibly moving in the right direction. We have many options. It's a good problem to have. I think the more options we have, the more possibilities we will have to personalize the treatment. And this is why we are also very eager to hear in the next few years, the news about trials testing bispecific antibodies in earlier lines of therapies, especially the T-cell engagers. You are well aware that we have teclistamab, irinotecan, two T-cell engagers against BCMA already approved and widely used. We have also more recently Linvo, Seltamab, which was approved and hopefully widely used, but also we have Talquetamab targeting GPRC5D, which is already approved and used. And this slide shows you some of the ongoing trials testing these bispecific antibodies in earlier lines of therapies. The CAR T-cell field is also moving. We will have new construct in the next 2 or 3 years. This iMMagine-3 phase III trial is ongoing. Hopefully, it may help to or lead to establish the anito-cel construct in early lines of therapies. We do have also CAR T-cells against GPRC5D. This is about the Arlo-cel construct, which is being tested right now. But the IMiDs did not say the last word, because we do have the next generation IMiD called CELMoDs. Two agents, iberdomide and mezigdomide. Iberdomide is now being tested in early relapse. This is the EXCALIBER phase III trial. Iberdomide, dara-dex versus daratumumab, bortezomib, dex. Mezigdomide is tested in the successor to phase III trial, mezi-KD with carfilzomib versus KD. So the treatment landscape is becoming incredibly crowded, but most of these new options that are coming into the field are extremely powerful, and I am personally extremely optimistic about the fact that we will be able to cure or to allow long-term durations, even in the relapse setting, in the early relapse setting. This is why analyzing, having a very precise understanding of the treatment history of a given patient is going to be crucial for the right choice of the most appropriate treatment. Of course, depending on the patient characteristics, comorbidities, we should not neglect, and we need to pay attention to the safety profile, which is also relevant. Because if we want to improve the outcome of a given patient, we have two venues. You have a very potent, powerful drug, and this will lead to improvement. But also, if you increase and improve your safety and your toxicity, you will also improve the final outcome of this patient. So in summary, the treatment strategies in early relapse multiple myeloma are evolving very rapidly, and we know historically that this first-line therapy that is now more and more well-established with the quadruplet regimens plus or minus auto transplant. But now, I think the field will be moving into, in the relapse setting, into earlier use of immunotherapies like CAR T-cells, antibody-drug conjugates, but also at some point, the bispecific T-cell engagers. So you can appreciate that the first-line therapy, frontline treatment is crucial, because this is where you have a big bunch of your remission. But I think the appropriate management of the first relapse is becoming more and more important, because actually by combining the first-line treatment and the treatment of the first relapse, probably you will achieve more than 70% or 80% of the total remission of a given patient.
Now, let's shift our focus to the treatment of patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. Dr. Surbhi Sidhana walks us through important new developments for this population.
The different immunotherapy options that we have right now include a bispecific antibody, which can be against different targets. We have two commercially available bispecific antibodies, teclistamab and elranatamab. We have several in clinical development, including linvoseltamab and etentamig. We have one commercial bispecifics against GPRC5D, talquetamab. There are others in clinical development. We also have bispecifics against FCRH5, cevostamab, that are in clinical development. When we come to CAR T-cells, of course, we have two FDA-approved agents, ide-cel and cilta-cel, that are against BCMA. We have several other BCMA-targeting CAR T-cells currently in advanced clinical development. As Dr. Mothi mentioned, anito-cel is one of them. There are several others. We have clinical trials for GPRC5D CAR-T in advanced clinical development. Arlo-cel is the one that is most advanced in clinical development. We also have dual targeting CAR-T cells in development against both BCMA and GPRC5D or BCMA and CD19. So there's a lot of different options. And we, you know, Dr. Mothi talked about belantamab or ADCs as well. So this is a very busy slide. I won't go through each of them, but in the coming slides, we will review some of this data. So this is, again, of all of the five different bispecific or CAR-T options that are currently approved for treatment, which includes ide-cel and cilta-cel, teclistamab, talquetamab, and elranatamab. And this is the data from the pivotal trials, and we will cover some of this data in the coming slides. So ide-cel, you know, was the first approved agent in 2021. There was immense excitement because previously, in patients who had heavily pretreated myeloma, the median PFS was 3 to 4 months. The response rates were 30% to 40%. And here, for the first time, we had a construct that could give us a response rate that was double that at 73% with a median PFS of 9 months. And now we look at it, it was like, oh, it's just 9 months. No, at that time, and that is not that long ago, just 4 years ago, that was completely revolutionary and just ushered this whole era of immunotherapy in myeloma. Then we had cilta-cel approved for fourth-plus line CAR-T with a median PFS of almost 3 years, a response rate close to 100%. Again, this was unprecedented, and this has now, of course, been approved in earlier line, as Dr. Mothi showed. Teclistamab, with a response rate of two-thirds of patients responding with a PFS of close to a year, and then came talquetamab and elranatamab. So really, we have so many different treatment options. So treatment selection in the era of immunotherapy, we have options, options, and options, right? And this is something that we have to personalize for each patient based on their preference. We have CAR-T cells, which have high response rate, closer to 85%-90% in the intention to treat cohort. But they need to be relocating to an academic center. They need to have a caregiver. They cannot drive for 2 months. It is a limited duration treatment, bridging therapy, and one-time dose. Then we have bispecific. The response rates are two-thirds, and in combination, I will show much more, but they need to be either admitted or relocate close to a center that can do this for about a week, but then the treatment is more either weekly or every other week. Belamaf can be given. It's not yet, you know, it was approved. It was taken off market. It's not yet approved again in the U.S., but we expect it might come back very soon. The response rate's high. It can be given more easily in community practice. The AEs are slightly different. Infection is there, but also the ocular toxicity is there, but no CRS, no ICANS. So I think each of them have different AEs, different logistics that we need to consider. So what are the future directions? And I'm just looking at the time. I think I probably have 5 more minutes before we need to move on. Is where are these things moving? And the things we are looking at is moving all of these options to earlier line, combination therapy, fixed duration therapy. And so we also have other bispecifics. I will not spend too much time on this. So linvoseltamab is in advanced clinical development. It is currently being considered for FDA approval. Again, BCMA-treated, heavily treated patients, very similar response and efficacy and toxicity data to our two currently approved agent. This one is IV. The schedule is slightly different. And so again, hopefully we'll have this in the market soon. We have the AbbVie compound 383, which now has a name, etentamig, that also has very high response rate. The dosing is every 4 weeks. Initially, they didn't have a step-up dosing cohort, but now they have a step-up dosing cohort to mitigate CRS. But the toxicity and efficacy profile seems to be similar. The only difference is now the advantage is it's every 4 weeks. So this is the step-up dosing cohort where they had less cytokine release syndrome, not yet FDA approved. This is another one that was in clinical development for imatinib for GPRC5D. We have cevostamab, and we saw some data presented by Dr. Kumar last year at the EHA meeting. This was some initial data that targets a different target, FCRH5, that's in clinical development. Promising response rates, durability yet remains to be seen in this cohort. There are several ongoing trials about treatment discontinuation, about using bispecifics as consolidation after CAR-T, again, to improve the efficacy and improve tolerability. And this is combination data. We now have, this is clinical trial data only, not approved with Tecfidera, Elranatamab, Tecfidera, and also with talquetamab combinations with Dara, Tec, and Tal. Very promising data. We had an NEJM publication recently, especially in patients with extramedullary disease. So while not yet FDA approved, this hopefully is coming in the near future for our patients. And again, many ongoing trials to move them in one prior line setting. These are randomized trials. These are big trials of 700, 800 patients. And so again, we have many clinical trials for CAR-T as well. I will not spend too much time, but anito-cel has shown very promising response data, you know, over 90% response rate. Durability seems to be high in the phase one trial. We will see about the phase two trial, but here we are seeing less of those delayed neurological toxicities. We have off-the-shelf options that are being developed with CAR-T. We have CELMoDs, which we don't even have time to go into. Dr. Mohty also talked about iberdomide and mezigdomide. And the good news is they seem to work both in combination and also in patients who have been refractory to lenalidomide. So again, many different options for our patients. This is data from Mezi, Dara, Dex, very high response rate, over two-thirds, 80% of patients responding. And again, different combinations of Mezi with other drugs as well. However, there's still some unmet needs in myeloma. How do we do treatment sequencing with all of these options? Minimizing side effects, accessibility, especially with CAR-T and bispecifics, and mitigating treatment toxicity.
Finally, Dr. Mohty highlights the importance of having multiple, seemingly redundant, therapy options for the treatment of relapsed multiple myeloma.
I would like to emphasize here, with this debate about CRS and outpatient inpatient is amazing. And this is the answer, one of the examples, how this bispecific platform is very flexible. I would call it the Swiss knife, because we had originally teclistamab, then elranatamab, and now linvoseltamab. And people may wonder, why do we need all of these bispecific targeting the same antigen? And I personally would say, yes, we need them, because we just heard in one of the questions from Ola about the etentamig, which is a differentiated BCMA CD3 specific T cell engager, which is different from the other ones. It has high avidity to the BCMA binding domains, but low affinity to the CD3 binding domain, specifically designed to reduce the CRS. And it has a silenced Fc tail, which is different from the other ones for extended life, half-life, enabling a different way of administration. So you can see, I think it's fascinating to see that with the same platform, same technology, with or without prophylaxis, you can play and improve the safety and tolerability of these drugs.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on this topic, click on the link in the podcast description. To earn credit for participating in this podcast, please follow the instructions on how to receive credit information in the episode description.